Good evening, and thanks for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, running down all the latest in high school sports. Crunch Time is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, located here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. You can go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at orthosensi.com. Remember, that's orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there, and we are awaiting the arrival of the East Central Lady Trojans basketball program. Coach Kevin Moore and five of his standout players en route, going to be joining the show here in just a few minutes while we wait on their arrival. We will go into your high school football roundup. Still a couple of area teams alive at the IHSAA football state tournament, and we will talk about that here in just a moment. I do want to remind everybody that's tuned in tonight, we will have our on-air auction coming up immediately following Crunch Time from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, so stick around, and you can save big on some of your holiday shopping. It's going to be a lot of fun as well. But let's get into your high school football roundup. Want to start with the Lawrenceburg Tigers. Had the pleasure of calling their sectional championship game this past Friday, a 35-14 win over Brownstown Central. This is now the fourth consecutive win over the Braves in the postseason. Tigers have a very kind of decorated history with this team, dating all the way back to 2005. We talked about it a ton with that miracle on Elm Street, where the Tigers came back from 24 down in the fourth quarter to win that game in 2005. 2016, they beat Brownstown Central by 1 point to go to the state championship, and then have knocked them out of the state tournament the last 2 years, this time in the sectional championship. So it is sectional 21 for the Tigers and their third in a row. And what a game it was for Tegan Bennett, sophomore running back. He's had a really nice season. He and Luke Pierce manned the backfield for the Tigers. And Luke went out early in the game. Coach K said a little bit of an ankle injury there. But Tegan comes in, steps up, 17 carries, 166 yards, and scores three touchdowns to give the Tigers a big boost on the offensive side of the ball. This was a game where the Tigers, again, did not throw the ball around a ton. They were 0-for-3 in the heavy rain downpour at Greensburg a couple weeks ago, only threw the ball seven times this time around. Garrett Ewan did a nice job using his legs to help with Bennett there in the backfield as the Tigers just kind of grinded it out here. This was kind of going back to a couple years ago where they were a little bit more run-heavy, going to those heavy packages, a couple extra blockers in there, and trying to physically and mentally wear down teams, and the Tigers were able to do that to Brownstown Central. But the defense for Lawrenceburg has been something I've been raving about all season long. Now, they gave up 284 yards on the ground to Brownstown Central, but again, they run that double wing spinner type offense. The Tigers were able to force two turnovers, had three turnovers on downs, and Jace Bohan with the block punt, and the Tigers took advantage each and every time Brownstown Central made a mistake, and that is the mark of a good winning football team. So a great team effort from Lawrenceburg to win the sectional for the third time in a row. They will move on to the regional round to take on Gibson Southern. Now, this regional round has been troublesome for the Tigers the last two go-arounds. They've not really been in the game, to be quite frank, the last two times they played in the regional. And it's going to be a really stiff test coming up on Saturday. They travel to Gibson Southern. It's going to be a 6 o'clock Eastern time start, and Gibson Southern ranked number 2 in 3A, and you've probably already heard about their quarterback. They are led by Brady Allen, who is a Purdue commit, a 4-star commit, and if you look at the Indiana recruiting rankings on 24/7 Sports, that's my preferred recruiting rankings to look at. Brady Allen is just one spot ahead of Ashton Craig, who is obviously going to move on from Lawrenceburg to play offensive line at Notre Dame. But Brady Allen, over 3,000 yards passing, 40-plus touchdowns this year, and he's got a top wideout in Rory Heltsey, who's 6'3", 195 pounds, and has picked up two D1 offers here in recent memory. So Gibson Southern is a very high-powered offense, scoring 48 points per game. That's third in the entire state. Lawrenceburg not too far behind at 44 points per game, good for ninth in the state. Both of these teams have an average margin of victory over 30 points per game. That Tigers defense ranking among the best in Class 3A, only allowing close to 13 points per game. If you look at the Sagarin ratings, For these two teams, Gibson Southern is number 9 in the entire state, Lawrenceburg 44. Gibson Southern first in 3A, Lawrenceburg fourth. But that 9 and 44, that's where the discrepancy is between these two teams in the Sagarin, and that has a lot to do with Gibson Southern's strength of schedule. They've played a lot of good teams, and they've blown out a lot of good teams as well. So the John Harrell site predicting that it will be a 42-28 win for Gibson Southern. But Lawrenceburg, hey, they're in the regional. They've got a bad taste in their mouth from the last 2 years. Maybe they use that as fuel to go down to Gibson Southern and keep themselves alive in the 3A side of things. Now, it is the final eight. Now, on the same side of the bracket as Lawrenceburg, Tri-West knocked off Danville last week. That was a little bit of an upset. Tri-West will take on Owen Valley. So those are the other two teams on the same side as Lawrenceburg. You got Hanover Central, Mishawaka, Marion, Norwell, and Brebeuf on the other side. Looks like Marion and Brebeuf might be on a little bit of a collision course in the semi-state in 3A, but Lawrenceburg in the final eight, and at this point of the season, anything can happen. We wish Coach Ryan Koenigen and his Tigers the best of luck on Saturday taking on Gibson Southern. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. I want to mention the East Central Trojans and wish them congratulations as well, winning a sectional championship on Friday. 37-7 win over Martinsville. Mission 20 is complete. That was the goal of head coach Jake Miners and his Trojans coming into this season. First sectional championship since 2018 and the first under coach Miners. Another strong performance from EC in this game. Jumped out to a 21-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. I've been very, very impressed with sophomore quarterback Cole Burton. He has just been a model of efficiency this year. 10 of 11 in this game, 136 yards, two touchdowns, both going to Eli Aston. And when they ask Cole Burton to throw the ball, he is on the money just about every single time. They might only throw it 10, 12, 13 times a game, but you can bank on Burton completing a good majority of those passes. And when he gets it out to Aston or Brotherton or finds one of his running backs out of the backfield, those guys can certainly go and make plays. Josh Ringer has come back nicely from an ankle injury. The big game against Mooresville, over 200 yards and three touchdowns a week ago. And then this past Friday, a little bit more modest of a game, but still a very good game. 17 carries, 116 yards, and a touchdown. And the Sea Central defense has been very, very good all season long. They held Martinsville to just 202 total yards. So for East Central, up next, Evansville Memorial. They'll play this game on Saturday. It looks like it's going to be a 3 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. And again, they will be on the road, similar to Lawrenceburg. Long trip for both teams to go down to the Evansville area and try and knock off some good teams. I was looking into this Evansville Memorial team a little bit earlier today. A two-headed monster running back with Ray Brody. He's over 1,000 yards this year. And Xavier Tyler is a little over 700 yards. So put that together, 1,700 yards from their two running backs. They are explosive. Brody's kind of a smaller guy, 5'9", can hide behind that big offensive line for Evansville Memorial. Their quarterback, Caleb Elspierman, he's having a nice season, 1,500 yards passing, completing 64% of his passes, 14 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. They're not a big throwing team. I think they lend more towards running the ball, but they can show some balance there on offense. Maybe 60-40 running the ball. But both these teams seem to match up really nicely. Should be a very good game on Saturday. And again, I like to look at the Harrell predictions right now. He's got Evansville Memorial 28, East Central 27. Both teams are in the top five in the Sagarin in 4A. And again, when you look at those numbers and crunch those numbers, strength of schedule and everything, it looks like it's going to be a really, really good game. But I think East Central's got a chance to go down there, get a win, and perhaps match up once again with Indianapolis Ron Colley in the semi-state. You remember the Trojans played them the final week of the regular season. 14-point loss to Ron Colley, who was the state champion last year. They will play Mount Vernon Fortville. On the other side of the 4A bracket, you have Lowell and New Prairie and Northridge and Mississinewa. Northridge actually knocked off Leo, who was highly ranked in 4A. So there were a couple upsets throughout the state tournament last week in 3 and 4A. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe we see some more of those upsets as the state tournament rolls along. But again, want to wish good luck to Lawrenceburg and East Central, both chasing a regional championship coming up this Saturday. Should be a couple of good ball games. Still waiting the arrival of the East Central Lady Trojans. We're going to get into talking about them and their last year's season. We want to talk about that briefly because it was a great season for East Central, and we're certainly going to talk about what's ahead for this team this year, as was just announced today. Number 11 in the IBCA all-class poll. They started the season at 15, have already moved up four spots after just one game, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. Girls basketball season did really kind of heat up over the weekend. First, like, full slate of games on Friday and Saturday. We can run through a few of those right now as we await the Trojans to get in the studio here. Maybe the biggest game of the weekend was Jacksonville and Greensburg, both teams coming into the season ranked in their respective classes. Jacksonville, number 4 in 1A, knocking off the 3A Greensburg Pirates 53-50. Desiree Sparks had a big game against the Lady Pirates, 17 points and 11 rebounds. Regan Hughes adding 11 points with that big win for Jacksonville. A couple other things I wanted to get to. South Dearborn hosted a tournament over the weekend. They were able to knock off Clarksville in round one, fell to North Decatur in the championship game. But South Dearborn only won three games last year, off to a 1-2 start, so they look to be a little improved this season. And then the Jefferson County tournament, Lawrenceburg was among four teams in this particular tournament. Lost a close game to Charlestown in the first round, 60-55, but did bounce back and handily beat Lafayette Jeff 64-24 in the consolation game. So Lady Trojans are in the house here. Perfect timing as we've gotten through everything else we wanted to talk about. Coach Moore and five of his Lady Trojan standouts are, four maybe there's right now. One's coming. Well, we got a straggler. All right, that's fine. How we doing, everybody?
Doing good.
Good, yeah.
Good to see you. Glad you made it here. At State Road 1, traffic's no joke.
Well, right? Speed limits are recommended. I guess they didn't like the recommendation of 45.
Well, we're glad to have you here tonight. And if you didn't know, we have our auction coming up right after this. So right. We're gonna get you in and out right at 6:30 here tonight. But we're going to get to plenty of topics all surrounding Lady Trojans basketball. To start out, I want to go back to last season briefly. I know you've already tipped off this year. Season, but 19-5 last year, winning a conference championship, sectional champs for the second time in a row. It was just an awesome season. Cap it off, Coach.
Yeah, so, considering COVID and everything that went along with that and all the adversity, we had tasted the postseason success the prior year and losing a really heartbreak game to Bedford in the regional final. We had no summer. With COVID. So coming into last year, I felt we had the collection of talent to kind of have the success that we did, and they really came together as a group. Our JV teams every year provide us the following year with kids that are ready to play, and that's a huge part of our success. It's just pull and plug, and we've done that this year too. So I feel like we have committed ourselves to being one of the better teams in the conference year after year, but we're on the state level now. I really believe that, and I kind of heard you talking on the way in. We're number 11 this week, and I know these kids are not happy about that. I feel like we're inside the top 10. I think we have proven that, and over the summer we did that as well.
Well, I just got to tell you real quick before we move on, I got the opportunity to call the semifinal game last year against Martinsville and the championship game against Columbus North. Those were two of the best basketball games I got to see and call last year. It was awesome, and congratulations once again on winning that sectional championship. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, I want each of you young ladies to introduce yourself. Make sure you're speaking into the microphone loud and proud. Let us know your name, what year you are, and what position you play.
My name is Avery Daniels. I'm a senior, and I play post.
I'm Ashley Nobby. I'm a senior, and I'm a guard.
I'm Hope Fox. I'm a senior, and I'm a guard.
I'm Julia Tiemann. I'm a junior, and I'm a guard.
I'm Josie Trable. I'm a junior, and I'm a forward.
All right. And, Coach, these are your five captains, is that correct?
Yeah, voted upon captains, yes.
All right. So how's that make everybody feel? A pretty proud moment to be named a captain of the East Central Lady Trojans? Give us some thoughts on that.
I'm thankful for my teammates for trusting me and leading them, and we just want to work hard and set a great example for them. So, yeah.
Very good. Anybody else want to weigh in on that? Josie, what's it feel like being a captain of the Lady Trojans?
It's definitely something new. Coming to my freshman year and sophomore year, I wasn't really a leader, and that's a big thing this year that Coach Moore wants from me is to take that leadership role. So just trying to fill that.
Is it very often that you have juniors be captains out there?
Well, we obviously try to have senior leadership, but we always try to have a junior or two That way, it's a smooth transition going into the next year. I know Hope's been a captain a couple of years now, and now with Julia and Josie doing the same thing.
Very good. And, you guys have an awesome website with a lot of great information. I really appreciate that and getting ready for something like this. Saw you returning 78% of your scoring from last year, and, you five provide a lot of that. So a lot of expectations with this team. How do you kind of deal with that on a day-to-day basis?
Just being consistent. We talked about that all the time. We talk about our consistent effort, consistent concentration, and obviously everybody looks down and sees the numbers and sees Hope and sees Josie averaging the points totals that they do, and they are going to provide that consistent scoring. But we've got kids that also can fill it up. The other night we played 11 kids 14 or more minutes. Mm-hmm. There's probably not a lot of teams in the state that can say that. And at halftime, we had scored 56 points, and the playing time was pretty balanced. And, you have kids like Laney Baker, who's going to really score it really well for us this year. Julia, who shot over 50% from the three-point line this summer. Nobby, who can attack and score it well. And then we've got capable kids in the post with Avery Daniels and Karp that we can throw it in. We know they can score it. Vignali, Happy had two threes the other night, shot it really well. May can come in. Arnold, we've truly got 11 kids that we trust to play, and a 12th in Bailey Enzinger, who just scored 20 points in two games on Saturday, splitting time between JV and varsity. So, we obviously rely on Hope and Joe, but they are going to be face guarded, I'm sure, at times with better teams that we play on our schedule, and other kids are going to step up and score.
And we've seen that happen in the past, even going back to the semifinal and the sectional championship last year. Big plays made by Julia, Laney, among others. For the players here, what's one thing that you focused on individually leading into this season that you really wanted to work on and get better at? Is there a weakness, a perceived weakness that you're trying to get better at?
Yeah, I'll start.
All right.
This offseason, I was definitely working on my ball handling with a lot of pressure on, because coming postseason, we're going to have a lot higher pressure than what we have right now. So I've been working on that. And I've also been working on getting my shot off a lot quicker.
All right. There's a couple of good ones. Who else wants to step up? Ashley?
Personally, it has been a mental game this summer for me. I think I had to gain confidence this year. And being my senior year, I think that's just something that came about for me.
All right. Very good. Avery?
I'm still working on it, but over the summer, I focus a lot on my shot. That way, I'm not just in the post all the time. I can be a threat shooting also. And I also worked hard over the summer to be in shape and get up the floor and push myself really hard.
So trying to fill Charson's role a little bit, being able to stretch the floor?
Well, yeah, for sure being able to shoot the basketball. Her and Brooke, I guess if you want to call them our post players, they definitely provide that stretchability where, a post defender just can't sit in the paint and take over our driving lanes and our cutting lanes. So having those two kids be able to shoot it, and obviously Joe being able to shoot it the way that she can, it adds an element to our offense that we've kind of restructured some things. We've had a lot of size the last 5, 6, 7 years, and we've ran a lot of the high-low offense that we have in our man packages. But we really opened things up this summer and went with a lot of read and react and just kids that we have kids that understand how to play basketball. And it's a lot of fun to watch. And just our defense leads to a lot of our offense. And the fact that we can switch everything with from a defensive standpoint is a compliment to Avery and Carpenter and Trable, our post, that they can guard on the perimeter too. And it speaks to the fact that kids are in shape. And Avery, I want to highlight that she's in great shape. She's running up down the floor, finishing at the rim. It's awesome to see.
All right. And Hope and Josie, we still want to talk to you about some things you've worked on. You've been All-State caliber players, a lot of accolades. What else is there to get good at?
So this summer I really, really focused on my three-point shot and my mid-post game. I think being able to score all three levels is really, really important if I want to go to the next level. And then also my ball handling. I got it taken from me too many times in the postseason last year, so just trying to cut those turnovers down.
Very good, Hope.
Yeah, for me, it was mainly, since people are going to be guarding us tighter, I was working on, different moves, not just catch and shoot threes, but, shooting off the move and being more creative because, they're going to guard us. And especially in, when we go later in the season, the defense is a lot better. So just working on that and finding new ways to score.
Fantastic. Those are all great answers. Now, you have tipped off your season 1-0, started with a win over South Dearborn this past Wednesday, 77-27. Real quick thoughts on the new Mercy Rule. I asked Coach White about this last week. I'm not so much of a fan.
Yeah, we share similar stances on that. It's not that we're looking to blow teams out. I mean, right. We want to play well. We're always working on ourselves, but we've utilized that fourth quarter in a game such as Wednesday where we pull up our JV kids. Mm-hmm. And everybody in this room, with the exception of Joe, because she played varsity right away, those kids were pulled up as freshmen or sophomore and got that varsity experience and maybe got some of that nervousness out of the way before they were truly varsity basketball players. So I don't know how often it'll happen in games. You know, it may happen a little bit more often this year for us because we are, we're deep. And even if we sub down, we're still going to be able to score the basketball. So it prevents us from bringing those kids up, which we'll see how that plays out in a year or two.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to echo that sentiment throughout the year, and I'm with you on that. But in this game, 40 steals, is that a new school record?
That's correct. So we have a record board that we put a new sticker up every year for whatever record we may break, and the sticker prices just keep going up. So it's not that I'm mad that we're setting records, but they get into my pocket quite a bit when we do those things.
So 40 steals, that's pretty impressive. Someone had 10. Hope, did you have 10 steals in that game?
Yeah, I did.
That was cruel. Stealing the ball 10 times from everybody. What is it about your defense that just, you guys just seem to like playing defense. And like Coach said, you're turning defense into offense. Does that make the game easier for you?
Yeah, it makes playing a lot of fun. We're really, really quick this year. We can get up and down. And, a lot of our points were definitely in transition off of getting steals. Me to nigh and go full court. it's really, really brutal.
I think another stat that stood out to me, I believe 27 assists on 30 made field goals. That's absolutely phenomenal. You're sharing the ball like that, especially in game one, is just a huge trust level between everybody. It doesn't matter who's getting the ball. You trust them to put it up and put it in the basket.
Yeah, we in practice, we always work on like the extra pass and not really since everyone can score, we just try and find the open teammate and we don't really care who scores, just whoever does. And we've all played together for a while now, so I think we've had that built-in chemistry, so it works well.
Great answer there. Any follow-up to that, Julia?
Yeah, at practice, all of our drills relate to this. Everything we do is working on pushing it ahead and playing quick because all of our players can play quick this year, and we have the ability to play quick and push it and really do good stuff this year.
I love that. My dad used to get mad back in the day when we'd walk the ball up the floor. I heard that I don't know how many times coming home, but that's awesome that you guys share the ball so well. Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention something about your 200th win. That was awesome.
Thank you very much. And Coach Johnson also got his 200th.
Yes, he did.
That was kind of ironic and cool at the same time. Just consistency. You can't win without good players, and these kids, along with all the ones that have played before them, they show up and they work hard and they're coachable. And you try to create those relationships with kids because you put them in very difficult situations at the time and you ask a lot of them. So it always starts with relationships. And it doesn't always work out to where you have great relationship with all your players. You try. I can say this is the most fun that I've had with a group. It's early and there may be days, but it's a lot of fun to be able to coach kids like this because they just bust their tails and play for each other. It makes my job really easy.
And a lot of times the focus is on the varsity players. I do want to mention the JV here briefly because they did win the Panther tip-off tourney at Jennings County over the weekend. But JV players are very important to the varsity success. How have some of those JV players challenged you girls in practice thus far? Are they really making it difficult for you? That's their job, to kind of get you prepared for Friday, Saturdays, whatever night you're going to be playing.
Today in practice, actually, we're doing a drill, boxing out and then getting the rebound and pushing in transition and running our offense against them. And I would say they hit probably about 80%. So then that made us have to take the ball out, and then we couldn't get down the floor. And they made it hard on us today, that's for sure.
Awesome. And who are some of the young ladies that are maybe flying under the radar that have been impressive thus far?
Yeah, well, we kind of mentioned her earlier. Bailey Enzinger, she is a junior. She is in her third year of playing JV. She played a little bit of freshman year and on the freshman team, but her thing is it's not skill level that keeps her at the JV. It's confidence. And going out and scoring 20 points a game, you know, I kind of compare it to Laney last year where she averaged 20, 25 points a game. And when she was called upon and ready to play at the varsity level, she was ready to contribute right away. And, mm-hmm. and we're hoping Bailey's able to do that, whether that be, you know, down the stretch here or obviously going into the summer and next year. We have high hopes for her. There's some other juniors on there, Megan Bauer and Laura Cannon, along with Carly Davis, transfer. You know, she, a lot like Ashley last year as a junior being transferred in, it's a lot being thrown at her. But she's extremely athletic, and we also have high hopes for her. But, you know, our freshman class, it's probably a two-year deal. Most of our varsity are seniors and the rest are juniors. We have 10 juniors in our program, which, you know, a lot of those sophomores and freshmen, they've got a two-year window to get ready to be varsity players their junior and senior year. And you have Anna Black, Emily Clem, Kylie Ferreira, and Meredith Sizemore, some freshmen that we have really, really high hopes for. And I know they've impressed these kids a lot. And, you know, we make them fill out goal sheets. And almost all of our girls talk specifically about those freshmen and how impressive they've been to them.
Awesome. Getting into the schedule a little bit. Looks like at Franklin County tomorrow is the Richmond game still on for Saturday, even with the football game going on?
Yeah, we talked about moving it, but we're going to keep it at the same time and on the same night.
So two games this week. What do you know about those teams? What kind of challenges will they present to you?
Well, it's a conference foe. I mean, mm-hmm. we're always going to get the best effort from the Franklin Counties and all the other schools that are in our conference, and it's down there at their place, and I know you've played there. It's not the easiest place to shoot in.
It is a little weird,
With the sight lines being a little different. But, you know, if we play the way we're capable of and apply the pressure and push the way we can, I'm fairly confident in what the outcome will be. And then Richmond, you know, they've always played us really well. They kind of slow the game down, which isn't what we want to play at. And they play a 2-3 zone, and if you're not hitting jump shots there, that they can kind of hang around as well. And then after that, we really get in the meat of our schedule, which is something we're really proud of. It's going to challenge us.
And that was kind of leading into my next subject here is big time matchups in the regular season. Just some of the notables I looked at: Columbus North, Bedford North Lawrence in a tournament, Mount Notre Dame again. Girls, do you relish playing these big-time games in the regular season? How does it help you getting ready for postseason play? Stump them? No, okay. Ashley, go ahead.
Yeah, it really prepares us for the postseason because that's the kind of teams that we see in our sectional and even regional. So we have to be prepared ahead of the time so we don't choke in postseason.
Sure. Is it a lot easier to get excited when you see some of these names on the schedule? I know when I played in high school, I always wanted to check the Herald site to see who was on our schedule. It's got to be exciting playing some of these big-time matchups because you guys are ranked. I mean, people want to play you as well.
Personally, yes. I think these teams are so much more fun to play because it keeps the game going. And, like, for me, one of my favorite things is just cheering everyone, like, being excited. So these games, especially when you hit a good shot or an and one, it just feels so good.
I know, I get it. And the EIAC, I think, is going to be pretty solid this year as well. Rushville, Greensburg ranked in 3A. Lawrenceburg's had a really nice program, finishing second last year. So some challenges there in the conference as well, Coach.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've listened to your show and heard some other shows and read some newspapers. I think everybody would have us as the favorite, and we welcome that, and that's part of being, you know, the defending champs. But on any given night, you know, if you're not hitting shots and you don't take teams seriously, you can get tripped up and you can get beat, especially on the road. So we do not take anybody lightly. We spent a great deal of our practice today working on Franklin County, and we beat them by 40-something points twice last year, but we did not take them lightly. We prepared as if, you know, we're playing Bedford. We that's how we look at every game. We're not looking ahead. We love the fact that the schedule's turned out the way it has. It took a lot of work, a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls. Given we're the only 4A school within an hour, not a lot of teams in the Indy area want to travel down to play us because they have so many other options where they don't have to travel. So our kids and our families, you know, we do have to travel quite a bit. And going to Bedford, it's not a fun trek, but it definitely is a game that I know that our kids have in the back of their minds as they've ended our season the last 2 years. And, you know, you play them at 10 a.m. and then you turn around that evening and you're going to play the defending state champion Crown Point or the number two team in the state, Noblesville. So that's why I coach. That's why these kids are here. That's why they put in all the time. Those are our measuring stick games for sure.
Well, unfortunately, we do got to go and get to our on-air auction, but we appreciate you coming through tonight to talk East Central girls basketball, and we will definitely be out to see you this year and call some games.
We look forward to it. We got you a little poster here. I don't know if you
We will hang that up for sure. Absolutely. Appreciate that. Good luck to you the rest of the season. Thanks, ladies, for coming
on
tonight.
Thanks for having us.
All right. That is the East Central Lady Trojans. 1-0 on the season. They'll be at Franklin County tomorrow. Make sure you're getting out and supporting those young ladies, and you can pick up all of your Trojan swag at TrojanExchange.com. Don't forget about that. Thanks for listening. This has been Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.
Hey, you.
Yeah, you listening. Did you hear about the Trojan Exchange?
The Trojan Exchange is a student-run...